gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. Mr. Crowley, what went on in your head?
Nothing like starting off Pod is War with a big fuck you to Spotify and a tribute to Ozzy Osbourne. Rest in peace to the Prince of Darkness. There is one hell of a concert happening in heaven right now with all these retired heavenbound rock stars. Ozzy, the latest, unfortunately. I'm going to bring in Andrew Belaz, Ray Cash, Pod is War. Follow us at Pod is War. Follow me at PC Tunney. Follow Ray Cash at It's Ray Cash. Follow Andrew Belaz at IWC War Chief. Guys, I literally, Andrew put out the text message, like, don't play Mom, I'm Coming Home. And, like, literally I leave work that day and it comes on and I'm like, Ozzy.
Question.
Hi.
Question.
Hi.
Ozzy? Heavenbound?
You don't know.
Weirder things have happened.
Judge not, lest ye be judged, eh?
No, I'm just, this is a joke.
Yeah, I got
I'm Prince of the Devil, whatever he called himself. I'm just a joke.
Fucking Mr. Mephisto over here. This is not Bandwagon Nerds, Ray.
Hey, 7 years, it came true. I'm just saying. It came true. Shout out to Ozzy, man.
Just a couple weeks after the retirement concert, he worked so hard through his Parkinson's to work on his singing, and he nailed it. He did great at the concert. The concert was a big success, and then kind of Ultimate Warrior-esque, Andrew. Like, it's his last hurrah, and, you know, he worked so hard and felt so great about it, and I think he was just done. Like, the guy fit a lot of living into the 76 years of his life.
I mean, it's not like 76 years is a short time anyway.
No.
Like, he lived a full life even if he wasn't Ozzy Osbourne, you know what I mean? So, it's an end of an era. And did you watch any of the farewell tour?
No, I did not. I think I just seen clips of like promos and then like a couple YouTube things. I'm not drunk yet, so I'm stuttering my words.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Let me work on that.
I can't speak. I'm not drunk. What?
Huh? You shut up your face.
All right. It was a hell of an experience. It was a hell of an experience, and you could tell people there loved Ozzy and loved the music, and they were there for the experience, not for hearing it the way it was on the record 50 years ago. You know what I mean? So I'm glad Ozzy was able to go out on his own terms. He basically said goodbye in his own way, and it's nice. I mean, it's definitely – I don't think Sharon has come out yet to say who she kicked off the bill because they wanted to get paid for it. But I'm pretty sure whoever that was feels like shit now, given the fact that Ozzy passed away 2 weeks after.
Probably not, because they asked to get paid. But, you know, you talk about Ozzy and sharing a big part of his success as well, but you think about his career, he's got, you know, the probably the father of all like heavy metal rock and roll bands in Black Sabbath, and then decides to leave. Well, decides to leave, get kicked out, whatever. They ended up coming full circle and making up and doing stuff towards the end of much later down the road. But 1979, he goes on to have like ridiculous success. I think his first album was The Blizzard of Oz, and you heard a couple of his songs we played there. But Ray, any favorite Black Sabbath or Ozzy Osbourne songs?
Well, so the first, because of its tonality, first song you ever learned, I ever learned how to play the guitar was Iron Man, because you play it on one string technically.
Right. Until that you learn cool. On the water.
Little confidence to get started.
A little confident. Mr. Crawley is my shit, because I am I'm a Guitar Hero head. That is my shit, and he sung the fuck. Whoever Mr. Crawley is, he needed to see that motherfucker today.
Mr. Alarming.
But so a couple of things about Ozzy that I love, especially as a 37-year-old black kid. Ozzy Osbourne is number one, the only guy in history I think that has the voice of a parent from Peanuts, but sings like an angel. It is wild. It is wild how you can hear him so beautifully, but when he's hung, what did you say, Ozzy? Also, this may be the greatest. This may be the greatest compliment I can give the dude. When you think of what the word rock star means, when you think of what the word rock star stands for, what everything that comes with, you can't tell me one of the first people you think of, if not the first, is Ozzy Osbourne. That man has taken the idea of what a rock star is and given it to us. So now we know what a rock star is because of Ozzy. So you called him the father of a genre. I mean, to be that relevant for that long, you want to talk about what else he's the father of? With respect to boys over there at MTV, he's the father of reality shows.
The family reality show, for sure. Yeah. There had been Real World before that, and I was just about to bring that as a great point. Yeah, he comes in and does that and just adds a whole new element. You know, you think about reinventing himself twice, right? Yeah. Being the lead singer of Black Sabbath, being the Blizzard of Oz, the Ozman Cometh, you know, Ozzy Osbourne. Think about Ozfest and the respect that the rock world and everybody, you know, in a tangible closeness in that world would come to that festival year in and year out. And stages, these were stages over days for Ozfest. Yeah. It was so big. But, you know, the singles career Ozfest, the family stuff, the Osbournes are, Osbournes are a brand, you know?
Yeah, all of Eden off of that show. And he also has the nastiest story ever with him and Nikki Sixx in their evening of decrepitness.
You know, a lot of stuff is, you know, a lot of it's a fishing trip, Ray. You know, every year the fish gets bigger. So when you break it down, it probably wasn't as crazy.
Just keep your ants out your pants.
Well, he did probably snort the ants. I don't think he bit the head off of a bat. I think that's actually
I believe he did that shit. No, what 50 Cent say? If they say he did that shit, he did that shit. Absolutely.
Either way. Andrew, any favorite songs?
Favorite? Like, a lot of his stuff is just classic stuff. Like, even his newer stuff isn't bad. Like, I think what the last single he came out with earlier this year, late last year, was like Crack Cocaine. That was still a good song. Gets Me Through was like 2001. Patient Number 9 from a couple years ago still wasn't a bad tune. Then he go back to the I Don't Want to Stop. Then you go back to the old stuff that everybody knows, like Crazy Train. And I was glad that you put in some radio overplayed songs in your mashup with Sweet Leaf and You Can't Kill Rock and Roll, you know? So
I like a lot of Black Sabbath. I like even more like Ozzy's. It's funny because Ozzy's solo career is really more power ballady. Like, there's a lot to the lyrics. He's telling a story, and then all of a sudden you're rocking for 30 seconds, and then you're back to this, melodic more rock and storytelling, but it's great. I remember for being first introduced to a lot of Ozzy's stuff, because like I first knew of Black Sabbath, and a lot of that was like, oh, this is really good. This is like, I get where like Metallica got like why where they get some of that from, because I'm a huge Metallica fan. But a lot of the Ozzy stuff had to grow on me, right? Like Bark at the Moon and shit like that. Now I love it, you know, and stuff like that. But it's just sad. It's a one of the giants, one of the best to ever do it in the rock industry. A father of rock, for sure.
Yeah, I think we're running out of them at this point. Well, Dio was a couple years ago. Now Ozzy.
You never lied, man. How many of these... Is Old Dude from Judas still alive?
Yeah, Halford is still alive.
Okay, so
Judas
that's
Priest
one of the
did a what was that? War Pigs cover for the farewell tour because they couldn't make it to the show because they had a conflicting gig.
You know, the OGs now are turning into like Hetfield and those boys and then
late
like,
80s,
Eddie Vedder and those boys, Dave Grohl in the band. Who else is getting up there? That's still there. I mean, even
I think
Guns,
it's like what Dickinson,
Guns
Halford, and
still.
Steven Tyler. Those are probably like the three older.
And Steven Tyler had to stop singing, I think.
But he's back. He was back for that farewell tour.
Is he?
That farewell tour? He sounds like 80s Aerosmith Steven Tyler.
There's a Billy Joel documentary on Max that's supposed to be good. I'm going to have to check that out, so we'll see.
Are we talking just singers? Because Angus is still over there in the fucking being in school somewhere.
Yeah, but he's not a singer.
Okay, so we're just talking singers, and I got you.
Well, yeah, because Brian Johnson's still around, too, but he lost his hearing a couple years ago,
he's
so he's kind of struggled going through
not
that.
Not even the original singer, though.
Kiedis?
Don't act like he's not, but, like, don't act like he's not good, and he was still around since 80.
He's fine. I mean, it works.
That was back in black.
It works, because every
song... He sounds like Bon Scott!
It works, because every song is pretty much 90% the same. It's okay.
But he also... Yes, you're right. All the riffs are basically the same. But he sounds like Bon Scott in the places he needs to. The only thing he doesn't have is that playful swagger Bon Scott had for, like, Big Balls or, like,
listen,
you know...
Don't yell at me.
Okay, I'm not... You used to play Big Balls all the time when Pot is War started because of the nickname. So trust me, I'm fully aware of old Bon Scott AC/DC.
I just asked nicely, damn it. Don't make me play this fucking soundbite.
Would y'all count Kiedis and or is he too young?
Oh no, yeah, for sure. Love Red Hot Chili Peppers, man. I mean that's like I don't know. Andrew, you're not a fan?
No, it's not that I'm not a fan. It's just they started off as a ska band, and then they kind of became like an alternative
pop rock
band.
They became popular and learned how to sell records.
No. I'm not saying that, but like if we're kind of staying in that hard rock metal kind of vein.
But you know what? I haven't heard their last couple albums, but before that...
You don't want to.
But before that, even from like Californication and the few after that, there were still three or four that were... a lot like what they were doing in the beginning, but there's not a lot of bands that do sound the same way they do at the beginning. I mean, even Green Day...
I'm not saying that they changed their sound and that's a problem. I'm saying they were never metal. They were always something different.
Oh, completely.
Sure, so that's why I put Kiedis in a different bucket. Kind of like, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So like Axl Rose, he's in that hard rock, heavy metal thing, you know, Judas Priest, all that. But like Red Hot Chili Peppers, not so much. Like Foo Fighters, not so much because they're that 90s old rock.
Well,
no.
He's not
Foo Fighters,
even close.
You could count Foo Fighters more than Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I think they all just fall under the grander umbrella of rock.
Yes, yeah. I agree with that. Because U2's not a bad band either. Like I'm not shitting on Bono because they're a decent enough band. They're just not my type, and they were kind of like.
Did you guys
want to
play
before?
Yeah, I was gonna say. Did you want to talk about the? You guys want to talk about the Coldplay, Cam?
I like how you went to Coldplay the same time I did off of U2.
It
like,
was
U2,
on my mind.
Coldplay, same shit.
It was on my mind, and you went there, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Come give HR lady, come give me a hug.
Oh, they look so comfortable. Scatter.
All right. Let's go one last time around the horn before we take a commercial break. And I'll start, and then Ray and Andrew can have the last word. But yeah, I'm going to miss Ozzy. I loved the series, The Osbournes. And I will listen to his music it will always be in my mix of like songs and rock mix and everything else for the rest of my life. So thank you, Ozzy, for all the entertainment and the music that will live on in my Spotify forever.
Ozzy, thank you for being a musical maven at a time where people didn't care necessarily about the theatricality of a voice. It was more about how hard you can fucking rock. And I thank you for being one of literally the most interesting motherfuckers that's ever lived. Because there is not a person that's met you, seen you, or heard you that can't tell a story about your ass. Rest in peace, my man.
I mean, people got stories even just watching his shows because he's such a fucking weird dude. Like when you were watching the Osbournes, sometimes like the shit that would come out of his mouth or the way his brain would work, you just go, how? Like drugs are scary, man.
Drugs are bad, okay?
Or they're really good. You know, he lived till 76. That's better than a lot of health nuts.
Yeah, those are that.
How many people? Say your piece.
No, I was going to say those are the drugs you get from the drugstore. Not from the guy outside the drugstore.
And I was just saying, how many times have you seen people like that jog and go to GNC and all that other stuff and die at 50? So like, you got Dave Mustaine that's like almost 60 and he drank bleach. You got Ozzy passed away at 76. So I'm like, at some point you got to sit there and go, maybe drugs are okay.
don't do drugs. Don't drink bleach.
Hey, it might be okay. You have plenty of years to figure it out. It'll give you a good story. Ozzy is his own thing. Ozzy is a character. I like how you brought up theatricality because we talked about it last show that we did about like singing and how we're kind of all three a little snobby when it comes to music. So like Ozzy wasn't a great singer, but he was great for what he sang. And like Crazy Train, Bark at the Moon, Mr. Crowley, all this stuff. Nobody can replicate it because it's so synonymous with Ozzy's voice and Ozzy's delivery. So unless you're just copying Ozzy, which that's a bad cover then because you don't just copy it word in a note for note because then you're a tool. But Ozzy had his own brand. Ozzy had his own sound. And everybody likes at least one Ozzy song. And you can't say that about every musical act out there. So that's got to say fucking something.
You're listening to Pod is War right here on Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Indeed, always use your head and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Plenty of great designs that will make you the hit of whatever gathering you are attending. Does not have to be a t-shirt. Can be long sleeve, can be a hoodie, whatever you like. Get it in soft style. Spend a few extra bucks, you cheap bastard. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. PC Tunney, Andrew Belaz, Ray Cash, Pod is War, right here on a hot Wednesday night in southeast Wisconsin.
You want to say sticky, huh? Yeah, I noticed you wanted to do you last.
Moist night. Evening here.
Oh, you just triggered so many people with that word.
Yeah, not a lot of pleasure right now. There was a lot of pleasure this past few days. Andrew and Ray both enjoyed themselves TNA Slammiversary. Then Ray decided to keep the train rolling Monday night and head to Raw, and Tuesday night and head to NXT. So in that order, we're going to talk about those happenstances. Ray, while you will indeed star in your own storytelling of your own events, we have to let our own Mr. TNA, you are indeed the war chief of TNA as far as chair shot goes. Mr. TNA coverage himself, Andrew Blaz, why don't you go ahead and lead this Slammiversary discussion?
I will preface this with, regardless of how misanthropic, disinterested, disenfranchised they may sound, as we continue talking about TNA, it was a good show. I'm just prefacing it with just generally, it was an entertaining show, and even Enzo's bullshit on the pre-show was entertaining. fucking talking about fucking Zilla Fatu with his five kids before he's 25 and he spent time in jail and shit like that. Like, he just rambled and it was fucking fantastic. So, I don't know. It was fun. I mean, definitely, because I heard through the IWC and through other people that I knew that went to the show, because it was in Long Island, that people mostly just complained about the finishes to matches, but it wasn't so... It's backwards. What the hell does it say?
Oh, the mirroring's off. You still can't read that?
Yes.
No digesting, but...
No disrespect, but...
Oh. I thought it was digesting, too! That's why I'm just like, wait, what the fuck is the D word? Fix your handwriting!
No, my handwriting's fine! I don't have the mirroring on!
But still... The matches were fun. There were obviously some botchy highlights. Shout out to AJ Francis's eggplant. If you saw his tweet, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, and Black Jesus ruined the show. But, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Nice. But, I don't know.
I can write backwards.
Like, it was a fun show. I like that. I could read that, too.
Yeah,
so it was a fun show. A lot of things went right. I mean, a lot did. I'm glad Masha doesn't have a title anymore, because that no aura, can't talk. Not even good matches, really. This match was okay, but, like, Masha's shit. Make her speak Russian again. How is it that every time in the last, decade, we get a character that speaks Russian, as soon as they stop speaking Russian, they suck and they become easy to hate because they have no talent and no speaking ability. Yes, I mean Lana. Yes, I mean Masha.
Communism.
But communism is good when you steer into it. And as soon as you steer out, bread lines. No? We don't want to take deeper?
I don't. I'm a little scared.
This is very much a Ray and Andrew conversation right here.
Ow. No, don't break it.
Dude, I just dropped an elbow on my fucking lamp stand over here. Ow.
Good job. Yeah. It took a bump.
Yeah, I fucking
good thing you didn't lead with your dick like AJ Francis did.
I laid that one in. A little stiff.
That dude really had me screaming twice in that match. Like, don't do that!
The moonsault was so beautiful in that, like, right before that, and then he fucking nuts himself. It's like, dude, what the fuck?
AJ, go AJ.
It's like Flop Dalla back at it again, yo. But it was fun. The Hardys went. How did you feel about the Dudleys announcement, Ray?
I was pissed. I was very annoyed. Why? And I'm one of the people who actually likes Bully Ray. That was not necessary.
You don't think it's a good hook for Bound for Glory 3 months away to kind of lead the carrot the stick thing with, look, you're going to get a one last time with two of your favorite Attitude Era peoples or teams?
Okay. So let me put my business glasses on.
Do they look like Devon's glasses with the tape and everything?
Well, no, they're business glasses. They're not broke in the middle. They're good glasses. I put the wrestling glasses, bro.
Your business glasses should be Devon glasses, just for gimmick and just shenanigans.
Okay, for you. Business glasses on.
Thank you.
I get the hook. I get it. And you're probably going to sell some tickets. You're probably going to sell a few buys. Got that. Business glasses off. Wrestling glasses on. Bully wrestle still. So, cool. Devon ain't wrestled in years. Only reason he's even interested in the possibility of this is because he lost 90 pounds with DDP. And he's healthy again. Which is good for him, by the way. Fantastic for him. Mm-hmm. These dudes are all of them pushing 50, if not over 50. And you're supposed to be in this world where you're building up the new era of these TNA stars. And your most important match on the card is these two old guys? And one team who hasn't had a tag team match in 6-7 years? I think it's counterintuitive into what Silva and TNA as a whole are trying to do. And I also thought it really took away from a great moment because Jeff Hardy had, quite frankly, one of the most interesting, coolest ladder wins ever with the most Jeff Hardy shit you could ever imagine.
Hey, Ray.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Hey, Ray.
Yep, yep.
Do you think everybody else's payday for that card is going to be higher because those four guys are on it?
It depends on how they sell.
Oh, I think it definitely means everybody else's payday is going to be higher because those four guys are on that card.
In theory, you're right. If that's the case, then it's a net win because the boys always
going to get paid. And somebody from the locker room can come out and screw over the Dudleys and go into a singles program with Bubba Ray. And then you get even more somebody else over. Like, you can, there's ways to benefit everybody for this, I think.
Bubba, and I love
this. Is
I
something
really
that would
like
sell
a
lot of fun. This is something that would make a ton of money on WWE pay per view.
Okay, I'd rather it be on WWE because they have the bandwidth to have this exist in its own world. They have three shows.
Do you think that
maybe
this is a litmus test for Hunter to see if he wants to do this on Saturday night's main event?
No, I don't see that happening. Not at all.
Well, I thought old
and
Devon
and
Devon
has come out and said, I'm only doing one match. That's it. You got me for one more.
That's what they should use Saturday night's main event now from now on. That's where old stars go to die. Saturday night's main event.
Well, Goldberg's already set a precedent, so.
Dude, I swear,
and
I don't.
You know,
did you see the Berenstain Bears book I dropped after the match?
Yes,
dude, that's one of the funniest fucking wrestling memes I've ever seen in my life.
But you can't always believe what people say on the Chris Van Vliet show, because AJ said he was never going to come out to get ready to fly again, and that was a lie.
Well, these guys that get all the guests,
he owns the song.
The
he does have a choice.
Listen, he's a part of the show. The amount of guests he gets,
he
he's
owns
part of
the
show.
Song. That's why Hornswoggle came out to it when they were doing whatever the fuck the Wii Nominal one. AJ Swoggle, yeah. So, like, that's why they could do it.
That just wasn't, like, if you cared about TNA in any form or fashion in the early years, that didn't warm your heart to see him come out to that music with that crowd. And Leon Slater had no idea it was happening, so he was losing his mind. That was a real dope moment, man. The crowd singing to it, yeah, that got me in here in the cockles of my heart.
Cockles.
What about the sub-cockles, Dennis Leary?
I don't know if it got that deep to the sub.
Okay, just checking.
It could have gotten to the sub cockles if fucking Mike. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, because you did your business glasses thing. So if I put my Dudley glasses on and if I just go, Leon didn't know AJ was coming out and Leon was supposed to be Breaking Amazing Red's youngest champion, you know, thing that stood for 22 years or whatever it is. And he even did a Code Red to soften up Moose and beat him after the Code Red with a Swanton and then Swanton 450. And then AJ kind of comes out and steps on the moment. So I don't like Leon personally, but I don't like the timing of AJ coming out, because you built up this whole Leon thing about wanting to be the youngest X Division champion all year. Even the tail end of last year, and then he finally gets it, and you're like, and now it's AJ Styles. Look at this.
So that's fair. Let me tell you the counter to that, and why I like that over the Bully Hardys thing. The Bully Hardys thing served to only build themselves up. The entire reason AJ came out was to put over Leon Slater. Everything he said was about. They even started chanting one more match, and he said, "We'll get to that later." Right now, we're talking about Leon.
But the point is, everybody kept on AJ. And every time they showed a clip of that, AJ is back. No one goes, AJ put over Leon Slater. It's AJ's back in TNA. Dudley's Hardy thing could live in its own vacuum, ecosystem, whatever you want to call it. It could be to draw in older fans. And then you could do something like have Santana get the belt there. So then more eyes would be on it because of there's old heads. So then you can put over your bigger guys with the old dudes as like the sub main event or the you know, like a triple main event type situation where it could be the Dudleys, Hardys, the Knockouts, and then the World. And then you can crown Santana, probably Indy, hopefully not anybody else. And then, you know, then we have the Hardys, Dudleys just pulling in viewers because of name recognition.
So this one question will make my point for me. Biggest crowd they ever had in North America. Mm-hmm. Great buy rates, apparently. Most steam they've had in probably a decade.
Yeah.
Do you think the majority of people watching that show knew who the fuck Leon Slater was?
No.
They know now. They know now because they can say, well, AJ Styles came out to congratulate this dude. Who is he? Oh, he's the youngest X Division champion ever? Wasn't AJ the X Division champ?
Or they go, who the fuck is that kid? AJ Styles is on my television. Fuck that guy.
Got you. No, they're not going to say fuck that guy. They're going to say who the fuck that kid is. And if AJ's coming out there, only people that will say that didn't watch the show, didn't watch any clips, and just saw a picture. Mm-hmm. If you saw any more than 5 seconds of a clip, the entire thing he talked about was Leon Slater. And that'll make you say, who is this kid?
That's put him over for done. A bit. I know. I agree.
That's what's been done in the history of wrestling. The old guy puts over the young kid.
And that didn't work when Rock did it with Roman. It didn't work when Taker did it with Roman. Roman had to rebuild himself. Leon has less personality than Masha. He just flips. I don't think we're going to be in the same... What?
Those unique situations. You can't compare.
But these are also more recent things and more recent jaded fan personality mentality. Honestly, Stevie Richards put out a fucking video. I don't know if you got a chance to see it because it was earlier today about the AJ Francis nutshot. And he kind of looked over at the fans.
That's
and he's
really
just
good.
Like, if you look, it is. But he focused on the fans and he went, when they were climbing up the ladder, people weren't paying attention. People were on their phones. People didn't care because they've seen it before.
Yeah, that's a generation.
But they seen it before, and they didn't pay attention until AJ nutted himself, and most people started laughing. So instead of having empathy or a shocked reaction, most people just busted ass because hey, fucking nutted himself like a fucking idiot.
But we're dealing
with different mentality of people that aren't hardcore wrestling fans, because the hardcore wrestling fans already watch TNA. They're not the extra eyes that were on there because of AJ, because of all this other stuff. That's like the WWE fans who were fans of WWE and nothing else, and they were there for AJ, and they don't give a fuck about Leon.
There is no negative, no matter how much AJ took the story, by putting those two together in the same shot. There's no negative. Because before, you didn't know him anyway. At least now, and to the Roman thing, Roman wasn't over with the crowd they were trying to put him over with. Leon Slater got cheers all night. They popped when he won the title.
They popped when he won the title because they don't like Moose.
It doesn't matter. No.
They popped when he won the title and they popped for the high spot. But when he came out, it was dead. No one cares when he talks. No one cares when his music comes out. So you're not over if people don't pop for your entrance.
I cannot disagree more. He got a reaction at some point. And if that's true, putting AJ with him only makes it better.
We'll see.
In no way there is a negative to that.
Well, again, that was with Dudley glasses on. I don't like Leon anyway, so I don't give a fuck.
Dudley glasses off. They ain't even a team no more. 3D.
I'm just saying. I don't like Leon anyway. He's got no personality. He's Flip Gordon with an accent. I'm fucking over that kid before he even fucking started. His tag team member, the fucking man like Dries, he's got talent, and he's in fucking like NWA or fucking GCW doing fucking ass grab fucking matches. I don't know where the fuck he is, but he should be in TNA and ref fucking bro. Leon shouldn't. What?
I think he's a ref bro.
I think he did like some indie thing around here a couple of days ago because I saw him on something. But like you know what I'm getting at. Like they picked the wrong guy. It's like that fucking the wrong kid died from that fucking Macaulay Culkin movie and from fucking the Will Ferrell movie. What was that? Fucking the one where he had the fucking.
No, you can live on that. Island by yourself. My girl.
No. The Elijah Wood and Macaulay Culkin movie where they were the good son, I think it was called, where the wrong kid died. And then there was a John C. Reilly movie that kind of did the same thing. Maybe it was like Walk Hard, where the dad kept saying the wrong kid died because he accidentally killed his brother.
Step Brothers?
No, it wasn't Step Brothers because it was
Dewey Cox?
Or it might have been Dewey Cox. Yeah,
Talladega Nights.
Walk Hard.
Was it Talladega Nights?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. It wasn't Talladega Nights.
Yeah, there's a puma in the back seat.
But still, the point I'm getting at is, I don't care about Leon. If I wanted to zoom out, I could say AJ stepped on his moment because they were trying to. They were TNA was trying to sell it for 6 months like it was a big thing. Not me. They were trying, and they brought AJ out. It kind of stepped on it.
I hear
that.
You.
That's where I'm at with it.
I hear you. I ain't watched a fucking hour of TNA in years. So All that shit is cool. Had no idea they did that shit.
No, that's perfectly fine. So that was kind of where I was going at it with it. Yeah. They've been pushing this Leon shit down our throat. And the fact that he can't maintain the pop or maintain the hype by himself and he need to bring out AJ.
Through the diehard's throat. I'm not a diehard.
Which is fine. And I'm glad that you liked it.
I'm glad
that you liked it, yes.
I care about him now because AJ put him over. He could be the worst dude ever. But in the moment, AJ coming out to put him over makes me think there's something to this kid.
And that's how I see the Hardy Studleys thing, where that could just, that makes the
something
pay-per-view
to this
interesting.
Kid? To this kid? This kid?
The kids in TNA. The Dudleys, Hardys
and the
thing.
The Dudleys will not help anybody else on the roster but themselves.
Was that a lot of S's or a Z?
Well, since we're speaking of these fucking 90s teams, Z.
It's a Z. Yeah. Okay. And it's got that cup thing, that squiggle art that you put on every fucking cup in your book in the 90s.
With the line through the Z.
Yes. But so, because I wouldn't be surprised if it's Kaz versus AJ Styles at Bound for Glory too. Like, I think we're gonna get some. But you get what I mean, though. Like, I feel we're gonna get some nostalgia acts at Bound for Glory, and then we're also gonna get crowning some of the younger guys, and that's supposed to bring the eyes in. Because I think AJ is gonna be back for something. Would I like it to be an AJ versus AJ match? Because Francis likes to run his mouth about being the best AJ in TN AJ. Of course.
No, because
it's right there.
I don't know. I give AJ someone he could have a good match with. And I love AJ Francis. Give AJ someone that would fit the idea of TNA and what he did there.
Sure. No, I get you. That's why I went to Kaz. And that I just said I would also like the whole AJ versus AJ thing. Or at least AJ screwing him or getting involved somehow. Just because of the obvious references about... Because he's put the pause in there in previous promos about how I'm the best AJ in TNA. Or he's just like, or when did they do the penthouse? He'd be like, and the guest, AJ, pause, Francis. And he just sees it's himself. You know, kind of like
he does it
on purpose.
I've seen the clips, yeah.
You know what I mean. Like, he's laying it in kind of thick. And I don't know if that's him just trying to will it into existence. Or if there's stuff on the back burner. But I think we'll be fine. Because you know... What would have made me agree with your point, right? Is if they pulled the trigger on Santana on the main event. But they didn't. Which means they keep thinking there's more meat on the bone and they keep wanting to drag this out. So that's why I think they're dragging it out till Bound for Glory, and they're trying to give people a reason to tune in by playing the nostalgia card.
So is this my time to talk about Mike Santana?
Yes, it is.
Was that your cue?
It is. I'm glad that you got the Iggy. Good job.
Permission granted.
So look, let me preface this for the fans, people listening, because you two know me. I'm not the dude who is your typical, and not using this in a disparaging way, but your typical Mark, who only wants to pull for the fans because that's what we're told to do. Pull for the the faces. That's what we're told to do. I'm not that guy. I've always been a character guy first. Which has usually led me to be most times fans of more heelish figures or stuff like that. I'm not the dude that's mad because I didn't get what I wanted. I'm not that guy here. My problem is that I have been watching TNA since they were on Fox fucking Sports. I've been watching TNA since they were in goddamn Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've been watching TNA since fucking Sonny Siaki was main event in shows. Scott Hall was a regular, fucking Ken Shamrock and Truth. Like, I've been I remember the Three Live Crew getting together.
But do you remember the Flying Elvises?
That may have been a show before me, but I know about the Flying
Elvises. Fucking Jimmy Wang Yang.
I go so far back, Elix Skipper was going to be my trainer when I was going to wrestle. You know what I'm
talking about? That makes sense.
Yeah, he was over the old power plant.
I would have picked Monty Brown, but I don't know if he was doing any training.
He's got a great name for a trainer, right? Like Skipper, so he's our built-in respect Elix there. And then Elix makes you think he's got the magic elixir to turn you into a superstar. You know, he's an Elix Skipper.
Only you can do that to that boy name. But okay, we'll work. Yeah. Sure. But just for the purpose of people listening, so you don't think that this is one of those rants. My issue with this is in every company, there is a moment where there's the right person at the right time for the right moment. And if you miss that moment, then it could happen later on and it doesn't hit the same. Now, if you're a bigger company, WWE, to an extent AEW, because they did it with Hangman this year, good on them. Even New Japan has done it with how they've pushed people from winning their big match back 3 years. But when it happened, it wasn't so bad. When you're a bigger company and you have bandwidth and you have the goodwill of the fan base, you can get away with that. Cody Rhodes is a great example because Cody should have won at 39. But they pushed it back and made it an even bigger, better spectacle at 40. They figured it out. TNA does not have, nor have they earned, that goodwill again. TNA is the company that notoriously loses the goodwill of their fans. Loses the goodwill and the benefit of the doubt. So, Joe Hendry, it took forever for Joe to get the title, as you have spoken about ad nauseum, Andrew.
Hey.
Not saying a negative. You've been one of the few people pushing that, reminding people. Mike Santana left a guaranteed $500,000 or more job at AEW for the rest of his career to bet on himself and come to TNA. Rebuilt himself, ground up, had probably the feud of the year against Mustafa Ali. Really became a top tier player. To the point where he was getting some of the biggest pops in the company, becomes part of this TNA NXT crossover, comes to the NXT zone, and gets over there, loses his match for the title against Trick, as he should have, because the first time you don't always need to win, because of AJ and Casey Navarro.
Yep.
Sunday night, AJ and Casey Navarro were nowhere to be found because AJ fell on his dick and Casey, good on the man, was actually hurt going into the match. Shout out to Casey Navarro for wrestling that match with that knee injury. Shout out to that dude. That dude has balls of steel, no pun intended. There's nothing stopping you other than Kaz, and Kaz didn't fuck with Santana. Kaz fucked with Hendry. So, comes out. All week he's doing the promo because he's from New York. It's in Long Island. The entrance he had, where before he comes out, he's sitting, praying, and crying, comes through the crowd. All the talk about him getting sober again. All the talk about how he's doing this for his daughter. All this stuff. At that moment, the crowd was begging for him to win. Now, 95% of the time, Ray Cash would love the heel to take away the babyface moment of that situation. Santana needed to win that night for the good of TNA's goodwill, for people to believe in them again. The first thing I texted you after it happened was, well, I'm not watching that shit no more. Because you have shown me that when you have the moment to be a different company, you have the moment to show people, hey, we know we done fucked up a bunch of times. Otherwise, if we didn't fuck up, we don't have to keep saying the new era and the new. You know you have had a history of fucking up. That's the point of this whole situation. And you had the chance to prove to your fans on your biggest night ever, we're not that same company. And what did you do? You went for the heat. It's so disappointing to me because Trick in the story between you guys, if Trick could have won the fucking shit back Thursday, I wouldn't give a flying fuck. I would have kept watching. But you have to give people their moment. So if he does win the Bound for Glory, I guarantee you 85% of people watching ain't gonna give a flying fuck. You'll get a cheer because in the moment when you're there, you cheer. People ain't gonna care. And he's not gonna be as over as he could have been. He's not gonna be as big of a star as he could have been. TNA isn't going to be as big of a company as they could have been because you muted your guy who was supposed to be the next person up. He was next. He was next. And he could have taken that and gone straight into a feud back again with Mustafa Ali, which could have fed generations of TNA fans. Now, Trick is the man. I was there Tuesday, and Trick is the only dude I've seen take it to the Undertaker like that in a long-ass time. Trick is the man. And I'm fine with Trick being TNA champion. I think he's been a great TNA champion because he has really elevated the title and the profile of that company. But you got to put over your people at a certain point. You've got to make me think you did a great job of making Joe Hendry seem important. But nothing you've ever done making Joe Hendry seem important was about the title. It was about putting him in situations, putting him against Randy Orton at WrestleMania, putting him in the Royal Rumble. Not about defending that goddamn title. Mike Santana's life seems like it depends on having that fucking championship. That's the dude you put the ball behind. And at a certain point, I know it's wrestling parlance, a tendency to pull the key out a little more and a little more and a little more and a little more and a little more. At a certain point, you got to fucking do it. Or else you run the risk of people not caring anymore. Dolph Ziggler is now Nick Nemeth because he's had that happen to him 25 times. So I'm really upset by that. I'm really bothered by that. And it was a really good show. It was a really good show. Almost every match had the right winner, in my opinion. You know, there were some matches that weren't great, but they were entertaining. JC, I think, was the right winner because Masha's terrible and the Knockouts have nobody yet. Indy will be there. But, man, they got some guys in TNA towards top of the card that can really do some shit. I mean, Ali was out there trying to break his neck for Cedric. Like, they were hyped that night. And then you shit the fucking bed that way?
I've complained about Dreamer and Delirious for how long?
You have. And hey, give Andrew a ding for being right about TNA all the time. Please. Because he was right.
Because you know what? I agree with you. That's why I've been shut up most of the time. You're 100% correct. He Santana's like Puerto Rican DDP. Even WCW knew when to fucking pull the trigger on DDP. Figure that one out. WCW figured out when it was a good time to pull the trigger on DDP and Goldberg.
Luckily enough, they had Macho Man to, you know, put the writing on the wall for them with DDP.
Yeah, well, they should be able to put the writing on the wall with, like, Nick Nemeth, like fucking Ray just said.
Trick is over in a way that Mike can't be.
No, I meant older guy who can
just
sort
people up.
I just
didn't
want to
give the booking parties too much credit in WCW. That's what all I was going for.
I mean, you're still right about the Macho Man thing, though.
Broken Clock is right twice a day, except for in TNA when it's right zero times a fucking day.
That's true. They just change time zones. Is it daylight savings time? It was yesterday. What?
So I did the rant. So now let's bring some leverage to the situation. Right in the entrances, when the choir started singing. That's the Harlem Gospel Choir, by the way. And my boy who sounded like Blue from the fucking Temptations
with a boom. Boom. Yeah.
I text Andrew immediately. Trick got Jesus in his corner. He ain't losing.
And that's where the Black Jesus joke came from.
Like, Jesus
oh,
beat
shit.
It,
you know what? This was before the Taker situation, too, because I made the joke that Michaels only brought the skinny white guy over top of two fucking tables. That's why he lost. And now Trick bringing Black Jesus. He's going to beat the shit out of Taker at some point. Just watch.
But how ironic is it that the devil's favorite demon came and had to come after Trick after Black Jesus won at the anniversary?
Yeah. That's funny, actually, yeah.
War that never ends.
Yeah. I don't know. They're going to wait too long on Santana, just like they do on everything.
They are.
TNA is in love with the Naito arc, and they're just idiots.
And I don't want any of this to make it like there's any smoke on Trick Williams, who is as deserving a champion as there is in all of major wrestling. Because Trick is amazing. He does the work. He cares about his craft. He has an amazing ability to make you care about what he's doing through his words, through his actions. Motherfucker came to Houston in a goddamn cowboy hat, it looked like he just bought that shit that morning. But like, he was straight Texas. Just saying.
Nah, he got it from Cowboy Carter. He went to that Beyonce, you know, concert you were talking about a couple weeks ago.
So I don't want anybody to think this is any smoke towards the champion in the situation. It's smoke towards Delirious and Tommy Dreamer. You had a moment and you gave it away. So
yeah,
won't be watching TNA for a while. Tony is so enthused.
Now I just hope that they push Jason Hotch in the X Division. They don't push Hotch in the X Division, I'm going to be sad.
The best thing I can do, Ray, is provide time on our network for conversations like these.
Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah,
there was a lot of NXT involvement, though, Tony. You could have liked TNA that time. It was like half NXT. Shit, it's half WWE, too, when you got Enzo and Dolph Ziggler. And
right. 90 people in the damn show was WWE.
So, yeah.
It's like 2010 TNA over again. So most of the roster is WWE.
There's this little show on its way to 500 called the DWI Podcast, and we cover the main roster.
You've been watching NXT more. Just add two more letters. NXTNA. There we go. We're done. Boom.
I don't watch any of them. I just pay attention. I just pay attention to what's going on. You want to know what I'm watching right now? Unfortunately,
Is it Noah? Because your ass fucking quotes
watching,
Noah things for almost in the chat.
AEW.
I'm proud of you this year. I'm just saying.
I'm watching. I flipped over to TNT or TBS expecting Big Bang Theory, but I forgot it's Wednesday. Shark Week is being promoted on AEW Dynamite. But yes, Omos. I followed his whole run on X because Noah would just post like clips of everything he did, and I was like, damn, dude, this is a great way to use him. And Triple H is trying to find out the same thing that Vince had in so many different ways, from Undertaker to Kane to Big Show. And then even Braun Strowman, but like we talked about, Braun Strowman's health is gone. The attraction, right? All you got to do is give him the title once, and you can sell tickets for the next 20 years, right? And Omos just needs that credibility, and I think we're heading towards that. I don't know if it's this Royal Rumble or the next one, but at some point, I'm not saying he's going to win it. He's going to have a huge Royal Rumble, putting him up, having a good WrestleMania match, probably winning a title over the summer, making him a really good face, obstacle to conquer for a heel. Sorry, Ray, or vice versa.
If they really send that boy to AAA and they're really just gonna let him be 2025, 2026 Andre the Giant, he is going to be set for life, because he's gonna be, because you saw him. First and foremost, Jordan Oberheim is a lovable person. If you've ever talked to the dude, seen the dude, met the dude, watched the dude, outside of the guise of Omos the character, lovable human being. Marufuji will go to war for this dude. He loves the shit out of Omos. So I can only imagine that the Silver family? What is the family that owns TNA? Not TNA, Triple A.
The family that owns AAA is TKO.
That's fair.
Just bought
the Emmanuel family.
TKO just bought them, didn't they?
They did. You're right. I was talking about the old owners, but you're right. So Conan will love the dude. And you just send this dude on excursion and excursion to excursion to excursion, and make him loved all over the country, that boy can eat anywhere possible. And also, learning different styles at that size can only help you.
The only thing I hope, it'll dovetail into the TNA stuff too, that they don't take too long. Because if you look at Andre in Japan, he was a more active wrestler by the time he kind of did the whole thing that most of us know. He was older, slower, kind of did one thing. For Great sure. Khali was a fucking monster in Japan. Like, fucking Giant Singh was fucking impressive. Then he comes over to WWE. He's older, a little more broken down, can't move as well. And then yeah. He's just a big guy that brain chops and talks like he's slow. Like, sure.
I think Omos is a lot younger. Almost, I think there's a big difference in travel when you talk about Andre, and Andre was also sick.
But the other thing, being that tall, who knows what that does to joints, and if one thing goes, and who knows what else goes. So I just hope they don't take too long, because even the same thing happened with Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman's not as big as Omos, and he had a health issue that basically makes him a part-time attraction now.
Braun Strowman played a lot of softball. He did not do himself any favors. I'm talking from personal experience, knowing.
So
this.
Did Sid, and he was and fine. Broken. Except when he broke his ankle.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole fault. Fucking.
It was Russo's fault.
Yeah. Okay. And, sure.
And don't underestimate the strain it takes on being a full time strongman.
That
did a lot of wear and tear on his body for doing that as long as he did.
But there's also a lot of other guys that have done, like Brian Cage did that, Hammerstone did that, even. Jordan did that, the women's version of it, you know. So I'm just saying, it's not like it's unprecedented.
Little different,
for big guys,
my boy.
Like that.
Little different.
I'm just saying.
We're not recording video, but the guys see what I'm doing. It's a little different.
I don't think he needs to, because he's 9,000 feet tall. So like,
and he was a basketball player. So yeah, it's different. He had a different body, was built different than those.
Correct,
guys, yeah.
Correct. Right. But my only concern is that I hope they don't take too long with Omos, and then an That's injury or some health situation turns him into Great Khali too.
Let's take our last commercial break. Are we done with TNA? We're good. Slammiversary.
Hey, until we get to NXTNA, because we got JC and Trick to come up.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're getting there. But what we're going to do now is we're going to transition the show. We're going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to take a trip with Ray Cash to Monday Night Raw and to NXT. You're listening to Pod is War on Chairshot Radio Network.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Cope looks angry on AEW. Maybe it's because he's pissed off he's missing John Cena's final run.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, Pod is War. PC Tunney, Andrew Belaz, Ray Cash, right here, Chairshot Radio Network. Ray Cash! You are a man of the people. You're a man on the move. You like to get out and shake it up and mix it up and enjoy life with the masses. Like, you're all about, you know, shaking babies and kissing hands, you know. Let's go. Not only did you go to Monday Night Raw, but you also went to NXT this past Monday and Tuesday. Please. Take us on a trip.
So I was very lucky. So one of my very best friends in life, my brother, I call him, truly is my brother. We were born same day, same year. So we met each other at my first job at a sporting goods store down here, Academy. To the point now where, like, he's the god.
The Umbrella Academy?
No.
Well, it's the same. I just had to ask because the same day, same year.
You didn't have to ask. You wanted to ask.
Was it the Alpha Academy?
No.
Ah, damn it. Okay.
Go ahead. Get it out the way now. Get it. Get it.
Was it the Academy of Arts and Sciences?
No, because nobody knows what the fuck that is.
So it wasn't the Academy Awards.
Hell to the no.
I'm just checking.
All right. We good.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Yeah, until we think of another one each.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. Like, yeah, no. I'll have another Academy eventually.
I'll give it 30 seconds. But yeah, so he that was our birthday present to ourselves to go to Raw. I went to NXT by myself, but we went to Raw together.
Where'd you sit?
And so lower bowl 115, and on the edge on the end. And so if you ever been to Toyota Center, so like
I seen the not picture. The field look, corner, but you the look other close. Corner. Yeah. You look close.
We're real good. Yeah, yeah, we have real good seats. Real, real good seats. So let me tell you a funny story about me going to shows. Brad has only been to 3 shows in his life. WrestleMania 17, the Elimination Chamber where Kofi Mania started and the women's tag titles were debuted because I took him to that show, and this one. I've been to like 17,000. So it's always fun to get him and let him see stuff because he was able to see people he had never seen before.
So like if 7 Ray Cash variants go to 1 show, does that count as 7 shows?
You got to ask Patrick.
Okay.
He's the keeper of the variants.
I just wondering how you come up with Will Chamberlain kind of numbers. So I was just like, okay, I think it's variant kind of math.
Just like you don't ask questions about Will's numbers, you don't ask questions about those.
Tune in to Bandwagon Nerds every Monday morning right there on Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com. Back to Ray Cash.
So if you guys don't know this, I have really sensitive ears. And I love pyro and I hate pyro. And so it is a joke amongst me, anybody that goes with me, and anybody around me that I'm waiting for the pyro to happen, and I will gladly muff my ears. So for the majority of the show, I was able to do that. On the pre-show, Penta wrestled Grayson Waller. So I definitely knew Penta was coming out. I was ready. You know who got the boom? I had no fucking idea that they got the fucking boom. Why did the New Day get a boom? I almost pissed myself.
Because they're bad? Dude, the first time DP and I think it was Labor Day weekend 2000 or 2001, Jericho comes out. And on TV, you know there's a but in real life, it's like...
It's loud as fuck.
It's like a fucking landmine going off next to your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't Jericho, you have those little, like, styrofoam ear, you know, plugs?
I don't.
That they sell, like, monster truck rallies and all this Maybe it's just white people shit, because, like, NASCAR, monster truck rallies, they always give you, like, this little plastic package of, like, those pink and yellow fucking shitty styrofoam things.
Those places care about your ear. They don't give a flying fuck about
you.
Your
didn't
ear
keep one.
They've never given them, and I've
you live in Houston. Know, have you done white things and gotten that little package of ear muffs?
I was about to say, I know oftentimes because I'm able to speak Caucasian with you, gentlemen. You got, I tend to play on the other side of the racial spectrum. I am a black man. I have not been to many of those things.
You said many, which means you've been to some. Did you not keep a
as
package?
A child. I'm 37.
Oh, what? Do you still have the old 3D glasses that were yellow, that were red and blue and like made of paper?
I'm turning, from the early 90s. I find one in my closet, honestly, while you're joking.
I'm turning AEW.
See? But you don't have your earplugs? What the fuck?
I'm turning AEW off after like 5 minutes.
I'm surprised you lasted that long.
With no sound.
I was going to say, that's 5 minutes too long.
I had to watch Will Ospreay walk down a hallway. I was like, all right, I'm out of here.
But no, nothing on a regular show. Cody and Roman, because they give them all the pyro. Jericho's always been ridiculous. And you know who had the loudest pyro of the night? Well, Roman, of course. But besides that, Stephanie Vaqueur. Anytime, like, I hate Kane.
Yeah.
Anytime there's fire, it is a different level of loud.
Have you guys been in the audience when the fire's gone off at the turnbuckles?
Yes!
It's hot as fuck.
Yes! And it's loud.
Yeah. Yeah, like there's like, including the front rows there, Bradley Center, it's probably like 45 rows in the lower bowl at the Bradley Center. We were probably like a third of the way up, and dude, you could feel that heat.
It's hot. It's hot.
That's why no one ever wants to. That's why all the people that are involved in the match get the fuck far away from the ring as possible and get low.
It's hot as hell. And you know, ever since Kane went away from the organ music and had the slow chemical shit, the Finger 11
did
song.
Did you know Kane's a
ain't
comic?
Ain't no telling when he's coming out.
Do you know Kane's a communist?
I did.
Dan O'Brien told me.
I did. I wonder if the people of fucking Knox County, Tennessee know. Anyway, the show.
Did you know Daniel Bryan didn't enjoy his WrestleMania 30 win?
I know Daniel Bryan likes to lie.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He enjoys a good
it's
lie.
It's a work, brother. It's wrestling. Like, you know. Is it lying or is it working? Figure it out.
Am I PC Tony or am I not?
Don't get me and Greg started because you know our conspiracy theory about 30. Don't get us started. No, but it was a great night, man. It was a great show, great night.
Can I book you and Greg already ahead of time for the Big Five Project WrestleMania 30?
Hell yeah. It was going to do in 2029, but sure. I'm down.
I love you, bestie, but yeah, that's kind of the pace we're on. Although we are in we're almost to 96.
Yeah, and that was in 2012, 13. We got a ways to go. The thing that trips me out about Houston as a city is every time I'm at a show, I will look at Twitter, and everybody will say, "Man, Houston don't never make no noise. Houston ain't," and it'd be loud as fuck in the building. Rhea Ripley coming out to save Stephanie Vicker and Io Sky, the seats were shaking. Roman coming out, the seats were shaking. And those are the big people, right? Big people. Man, just the LWO got a pop. It was loud in
Texas.
We love our Mexicans. You're right. And well, shout out to Joaquin Wilde, who is neither Mexican or Latino.
How far is Houston to Austin? How far is the drive from Houston to Austin?
2.5 hours northwest. It's northwest to west.
I like how you had to throw in the honorary Mexican like shout out for Joaquin. Fucking Zima Ion. Fucking not a Spanish bone in that body.
Not at all.
He's just brown. Vince saw brown and went stay.
To be fair, his country and where Cruz and the rest of the guys' country were both subjugated by the same country. So there is a little connection.
Sure. I'll give you that one.
No, man, great show. Raw was fantastic. I don't know if y'all saw, it's been on social, but I don't know if you saw live on the Netflix feed, Roman doing the yeet.
I seen it on socials. Jay set him up, actually, for it.
He did. Yeah. And we were begging him. The crowd was begging him to eat. That's why they acquiesced. So good. Dog, it just was a great show.
Dude, I gotta get the Pee-wee's Playhouse bite of when someone says the word of the day, and I don't ever bring it up unless like it came into my mind because Ray does this all the time. He's like just a savant of grammar and likes to use big words properly, and it's impressive. And he just said acquiesced, and I just random shows I would do it. Like, it would have been a perfect time for me to play. You said the random word, and then you hear all the Playhouse members just start, right? Like, all right, I dig. Now back to your regularly scheduled pause war. Sorry.
That would be hilarious. Some people that are over in a way live that you probably don't get on screen. We know Penta's over. No, but Penta is like top three pops of the night. Karrion Kross was so over that the biggest babyface in the company, peer-wise, Sami Zayn, was not getting booed, but was getting over-cheered by people who were pulling for Kross. So whatever he has been doing has worked. He is so over. Stephanie Vaquer had people... Like, I felt like I was back in 99 when Sable was out. Like, they was like, it was bad. People was like drooling in their
corny.
Chairs. Oh, boy, I tell you. But also, that match is a main event anywhere in the world. Stephanie Io is a main event. Oh, speaking of over, Io's, you know what I love about Io now? Io feeling herself. Like, Io always had swag. Io was always a great wrestler.
I'd buy that.
But her confidence would wane based on sometimes how the company viewed her. She know the company fuck with her now. And she got so much confidence. Like, her chest is out to here. She just knows she the shit. And you can see it in how she walks, how she talks. The crowd actually loves Ivy Nile. I think Ivy is getting over. She's getting booze, of course, but she's getting reactions in a way you wouldn't think someone who doesn't get much TV time gets. The judge, Dominic Mysterio, and I love how we make it in our own minds. Dominic Mysterio, when the women's tag team match was happening, of course the crowd loved Roxy because she's a Texas girl, wrestled in Houston with Booker T. Dom got cheered so much, he had to look at us and give us love. And then when they did the whole thing in the commercial where they were in the suit with Vic Joseph, of course we booed the shit out of him. Fucking wrestling fans. But what can you expect? Great night, great show. One of the most fun shows I've been to. With my boy, we were just screaming and singing, and there was a little kid next to us who just, you know, Becky Lynch was over. Lyra Valkyria is working because she's getting reactions now. Not just the woo for the wings, but like actual reactions. Great show. NXT, in a much smaller venue, a cooler venue. I love the way visually it looks. I've been at that arena before for a house show for NXT back when Bayley and FTR.
Where was NXT?
At the 713 Music venue downtown, okay. Houston.
How many people does that hold?
I say it probably if it has standing room areas too, you could probably fit about 500.
Because Raw was at the Toyota Center, 100%. Right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but see, Sean and Hunter and people who run NXT have learned a long time ago. Well, Tony Khan just learned. Put them in the arena that fits.
No. I that's not where I was going. I was just trying to set the scene. And I knew where Raw was. I genuinely did not know where they were holding that NXT event, so that's why I asked.
It's called the 713 Music Hall, and it is right off downtown.
Gotcha.
I used to deliver in buildings right next, like down the street from it. And it is the coolest. It's the coolest venue because it doesn't. You would pass by it and not think it was a event hall. It's so cool when you go in there and the way it's built and the way it looks.
We have something similar called the Rave, where there's been Bellator fights there and countless music concerts, right? So
for sure. In fact, I saw John Legend there. I had a date to see John Legend there years ago.
I snuck in when I was 16 years old to the Rave and saw Kid Rock.
Ball with the ball.
No, that wasn't out yet.
Well, I'm trying to think of something Kid Rock relevant.
No, you're good.
That's true.
So, a lot of Texas people that you guys might not know. Maddie Rankowski, a.k.a. Ren Sinclair, is from Texas, trained and learned in Booker School. She got a nice little pop. Jasper Troy is from out north of Houston, Huffman. Mm-hmm. He got a nice pop. Ricky Saints is over. We know that. I don't know if you guys, clearly you didn't watch. There was a point where Ricky and Jasper were wrestling, and they went to the ramp, and it looked like Jasper was supposed to throw him through the stage. The stage is broke. Because I think Ricky's weight was too heavy, and they waited too long for the spot, because Ricky rolled onto it and fell. But either they fixed it or the spot went well, because Jasper did a splash running off, like a senton, running off the stage to the empty part, and it looked vicious. And I love how NXT is, you know, the outlaw mud show. They didn't fix the stage. They put fucking caution tape around it, and everybody was like, "Where's Naomi? Naomi's coming."
That's funny.
We were I think a little bit exhausted because a lot of the same people who went to Raw went to NXT. So it didn't have the same energy for everybody because, like, the crowd was hot for most of the show. Blake Monroe was over, got a big pop. The girl.
Did she get a bigger pop when she came out or when she beat the shit out of Jordan?
She got a nice pop when she came out, but her DDT in Jordan was big. But also, she did it in a way where we were sitting. So if you're looking at the camera, to the right of the camera, that's where the big seating is because that's where the stadium size seating is. Everywhere else, all the other areas going up in the second and third row are tables. But the stadium seating is on to the right. We couldn't see it.
Oh.
So everybody's like, what's happening? Little kids was running to the damn rail. But no, the first floor, all those people definitely gave it a big pop. Also, shout out to the fact that Booker T called her Monica Monroe.
Yeah.
Blake Monroe. Monica Monroe is, to his credit, is his wrestler at Rally of Wrestling. She's one of half of the women's tag champs. That's why he called her Monica. So it wasn't like him just blanking. Oba, my God, Femi. Now, as a black man, in case you didn't know, I'm African American.
You're black?
I thought you were talking about Oba Femi.
As an African, no.
That doesn't help. Oba. Be more specific.
Right. I love Oba.
South African?
I love Oba. I love the ruler gimmick. I love that he is unapologetically Niger. That's a Nigerian person. And I even like that he's kind of embraced the whole wrestling in Baku. I was a bit uncomfortable with 350 white folk before he came out screaming, ooh, ooh. Those are gorilla noises, dog. That's a little uncomfortable. I was like,
it's like back in the day when the Brewers. It's like back in the day when the Brewers had Niger Morgan, and they had them shirts. So I was like, we really shouldn't be wearing them shirts. That's my Niger.
Just a wee bit uncomfortable. Just,
I agree.
Like there was this lady to the right, to the left of me, and she was a rotund Caucasian lady.
She's a fat bitch.
He said it, not me.
Yeah.
And
fucking fat white bitches. Bunch of cunts.
Well, she might listen. So if that's the case, hi, nice lady. If you're not listening, what Tony said. But the music comes out. Boom, 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 and all of a sudden, hoo, 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 lady, you're not at the zoo. Calm down.
Well, you know the stereotype. There's reason she likes Oba. You named him already, so
you can search him on the internet.
Just saying.
That's a good point. By the way, also, and I mean no disrespect. Nobody gives a flying fuck about Josh Briggs. I'm sorry. I like Josh.
Inamura gets a decent pop though, right?
Oh, he got a good pop. We love Inamura.
Okay. It sounds good on TV, but I wasn't sure how it, like if it was funneled in or if it's actually the show.
So all three of those guys got lower level pops than they would have because we were fucking exhausted.
Which makes sense.
You know who probably got the biggest pop of the night to me, in my opinion? One of?
Go.
Ethan Page got so much heat, we were screaming, shut the fuck up.
I messaged you guys about that. I did tune in to NXT. I thought that Taker and Trick would be last, so I was like, oh, I'll tune in like around whenever. But I did. I ended up watching that later. But what a – and I am not an Ethan Page guy, right? Like, I'm very aware because he's, like, mixed with some main roster stuff, right? But not been a fan. That was an excellent promo. That belt looks slick as fuck.
He's so good. I've loved him since the old Evolve days. I went to an Evolve show. Gabe's post Evolve, not WWE Evolve, to watch him. Cassius Ohno's last Evolve show. We were there. Cool thing about that is he had his full entrance during the commercial. And he had the belt with him, you know, Cody style, Ric Flair style. And he turned around and let the fans put it on him so he could get in the ring and do that. I thought that was real cool. I thought that was real, like,
that's interesting, yeah.
Because Ethan Page is an asshole. Julian is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. I've met the dude. He's just as nice as possible.
My only issue with Julian and Ethan Page is that his promos and his sense of humor kind of are, you have to be in the mood for it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have a lot of range. He does what he does well, but he doesn't have a ton of range. So, like, when he was, like, in TNA, like, the Karate Man kind of shit was a little corny, so I had to be in that right headspace. Like talking Shop-a-mania to enjoy some just like slapdash ass grabby bullshit. and like but that, arrogant, but egotistical, like everybody does it. It was a good promo. I'm not shitting on you, Tony. You're right. It was a really good promo what he did last night at the point of the recording. But like sometimes it doesn't hit for me because it's too cliche. Just somebody else saying like similar egotistical words. I'm like, okay.
Well, he's Miz adjacent in many ways.
That's a nice way to put it. Yeah, I like that.
So I get it because we've seen that kind of character a lot. Grayson Waller was kind of taking a bit of that too, but Grayson took it a little different way, more influencer.
It's got an accent.
Yeah,
it helps.
I was disappointed in Santino being there and not giving a flying fuck about the championships. He wants to fight Ethan Page, which was like, all right, cook then. I love how JC is kind of becoming extra egotistical and trying to make Fallon and Jasmine do shit for her. And they were like, I don't want to fight Jada. I don't want to fight Lash. Also, threat of the night for me was Javon in the back just giving advice and writing shit down, and Taker submitted to him at the end. Go for the big dog. And then afterwards, Oba looked at him. He was like, shit, you don't want that fucking smoke in the ring, and then cheered. It's a good show. It was a fun show. I love NXT. NXT is my favorite show of the week. It's my favorite wrestling show. So it was good. It was good to see him live. Got to see LFG guys. Got some LFG. And so you know I don't get Tony. You know I don't get A&E, that channel. So I have to buy it. I have to buy on YouTube. I have to buy the season so I can get you in time.
I can FaceTime you when I watch it. I just turn the phone around.
That probably wouldn't be as advantageous as you think it is, but thank you for doing that. You can FaceTime me anyway.
No, that's fine. I just heard you say no.
The kid Harlem Lewis got some.
Who?
He got some. Harlem Lewis? Are you watching this season?
No. I was out after like five or six episodes. That BJ Ray guy was like too much.
Yeah, I hate BJ.
I stopped watching after like three episodes because that kid. And then same thing I just mentioned about Ego and Ethan.
I thought this was gonna be about the talent being coached and not the talent interacting with the coaches as like a story. Like I wanted the real thing.
No,
well, I think it was for everybody else except for BJ, but because BJ is such a fucking character.
That's a word that I wouldn't use, but it describes. I like it.
Oh, that motherfucker! He's straight out of Malibu Most Wanted.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And I appreciate that he knows he is.
So, to spin it back to NXT, just because I was interested in both of your opinions, actually.
Yeah.
Out of JC's crew.
Yeah.
Who do you think is actually the one that's going to come out biggest out of it? Because I know personally I'm very biased to Fallon Henley.
Fallon is the man. Pardon.
Like, she's got a look. She's got a physique. She's got everything. And, like, I'm just waiting for her to kind of do the diesel thing and turn on JC and beat the shit out of her.
And if you're an indie fan, Tessa Price was out in the streets for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Fallon is not new to this. Jasmine Nix may not wrestle ever again if she ever gets fired. Fallon is new to this, true to this. She's in it for the long haul. And she has, I don't like JC's gimmick as like the rocker chick when there's nothing rocker about her. Fallon's gimmick is, I know they given Lainey Reid has taken a bit of the country girl shit since Fallon's been doing Fatal Influence.
Mm.
But all she got to do is put that damn cow mink on, and she's right back to it. Like, Fallon's awesome.
I feel like that's part of the reason that fucking Priscilla Kelly got released, is that too many of the girls kind of hit that same Hot Topic tone, and they can only keep so many that shop at Hot Topic and look like they're just seen girls from, you know, an emo band.
That's a great point.
She's also not that good.
No, it's a great point, though, by Andrew, because, and it's not as prevalent as it used to be. Like, the Vince thing was, okay, I got a blonde, I got a redhead, I got blah, 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 blah. Hunter's not so hung up on it, but, like, he's been around forever. It's kind of ingrained in him, right? Like, to not be excessive in one spot as far as the women go. And for the men, it's the same thing physically, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, you don't need so many giants. You don't need so many super small guys. You need a lot of in the middle. That's kind of what the problem with WWE is it always ends up being a business.
Yeah.
And their business is storytelling with great production.
And responsibility.
I was waiting for it. I was just waiting for someone to say it.
And such an amazing history that they're the end all be all for 99.4% of professional wrestlers that aspire to be great.
No, you're right. And I think my whole thing was like, I heard what your little comment was, Ray, and I still like Priscilla more than Cora or Elena Black.
Both
because
of them
it's like,
good.
I'm not, hey, I didn't say good. I said better. I'm just saying, like, yes, Priscilla had certain assets that everybody loved. Yes, I understand that. Yeah, exactly. Big Lunch. What the fuck? That's a good reference. God damn it. But, you know, between Tatum fucking Paxley, JC Jane, Cora Jade, fucking. Even okay, if Julia wasn't Asian, she came in with that same kind of scene emo fucking look.
Sure.
And like, and Vakair too with the edgy like rocker girl look. It's like everyone can't be dark and brooding. It's not like I want a cheerleader or a Barbie doll that's like bright and happy, but like everybody can't be edgy.
And to your point, the thing I'm gonna call her by her WWE name for the purposes of this conversation. I'm no Priscilla Kelly. But my hang-up on Gigi Dolin, even back to Toxic Attraction, was a big thing for me. I'm a character guy. Is mm-hmm. I think every wrestler, particularly in a WWE, if I was talking to my 14-year-old and I had to explain them in 5 seconds, if I can't explain them in 5 seconds, you got the shit fucked up. How do you explain Gigi Dolin, even in Toxic Attraction, girl that likes roses? Like, it doesn't make sense. So when she broke up from Toxic Attraction, JC could always lean on, oh, I'm that rocker chick. I mean, her move was the rolling encore, right?
Yeah, that's the elbow. Yeah.
Yeah, and she hit that shit too. When she knocked Masha the fuck out with that.
I don't disagree.
We talking about Gigi. How the fuck do you explain? Now I can explain Priscilla Kelly to you, the crazy chick that would put shit in her pop up and put it in your mouth. Like Priscilla Kelly was crazy.
Yeah, tampon attack.
Yeah, but Tatum Paxley does crazy better than Priscilla could ever do it. So what is?
Well,
what
she
is,
does what WWE crazy better. That's. I think that's the thing is that Priscilla does that. Like, okay, so Priscilla Gigi whatever can't do tame crazy because she's got her own specific flavor of personality. Okay. That she's gonna go into it, she's gonna go hard, because like following her Twitter is some of the best shit, and I don't just mean like the sexual innuendo with Wentz.
Sure,
like
sure.
She is funny as shit, like she is cool as fuck seemingly. So if they let her be a cool chick, I think that would go a lot further than look, yeah, she's another edgy hot girl.
Sure, but cool chick isn't a character.
It could be.
You gotta have some more layers than that.
Dislike the Rascals in TNA?
But the Rascals aren't. But the Rascals characters are. They're the stoner guys.
Not really, because they haven't done the Treehouse in forever. They've just been the cool junior heavyweight team that kind of. They're the new Motor City Machine Guns. You know what I mean? But,
let me give you the point I'm trying. Let me sure. Make it make sense. X-Pac had left the Generation X. And was still using X-Pac coming out to the shit. So yeah, while he may not be currently representing Generation X, you don't see him rocking with the guys. When you talk about X-Pac in 2000 or in 2003, there's still remnants of that character.
I get you.
So yeah, they don't have to be in the Treehouse every week to not know that they're still when their Titantron comes up, it's smoke.
No, it's paint now, remember? Because they do, well, they do spray paint. They do Rascal's paint,
look
thing.
At the sides. Look at the sides.
Oh
the
no! This, but they zoom in on the middle. That's my point. Like they do the graffiti tagging thing first. So I feel like they've tried to steer away a little bit out of the Stoner Treehouse thing until they like go into it when Matt Riddle like helped him out one time and all this other shit. But
Vince, we came when Dez came back. They did it one time.
He showed up. Yeah. So like I feel like that could work if they lit Priscilla talk, Gigi, whatever. But she didn't have a lot of promo time either, though.
She did during the JC feud. But
during a feud, and yes, exactly. And then she got hurt, and then she never really got another
chance. That was the feud that was supposed to set her up for the future of her career.
And then she got hurt and never got another shot, really. Yes, well, because I understand where you're going with it.
Same reason Cora/Elena, they moved on because they were hurt, and so many other women got better and got hired.
Cora can't talk or wrestle, though. She sounds like every 20-year-old white girl nowadays. She sounds disinterested in breathing, and then she's just condescending. How is that a character?
My problem with Cora, Elena, is, and it has matriculated into her real life, is that Cora loves wrestling, or loves
you
wrestling.
Love matriculate, Tony. You use that constantly. Shut up.
Oh, sorry. My bad. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to stop using big words. My bad.
No, that was of another... I was just... showing you guys what like
I know he did the Pee Wee Herman thing, and that's I'm just like, but you use that word all the time. That shouldn't be a Pee Wee Herman word.
But my issue with her is her gimmick and the way she carries herself is that she thinks she's way hotter than she actually is. So like now
every
that
20-year-old influencer nowadays,
yeah, but she does it in a way that I haven't seen in a wrestler that like. Mandy carried herself as a bombshell. Corey carried herself like, yeah, bitch, I'm hotter than you. It's a little different, and there's a difference in the nuance. And now her basically saying, fuck wrestling, I'm just doing OnlyFans forever, fits. So that probably was the gimmick.
I mean, yeah. I'm not surprised. I don't think anybody's surprised she went that way.
I'm disappointed. I'm not disappointed she went OnlyFans. Get your money. I'm disappointed that she cares a little about wrestling now because she's getting the check.
It could just be that she also doesn't want to get hurt. And depending on what she does on her OnlyFans, I don't think she's going to get hurt. You know? As I said, depending, we can let the imagination run wild. I don't know what your Orange site search history is. And since it's banned in Houston, I don't know what your other stuff is.
With my... thousands of hours of podcasting experience, I can always tell when a segment's coming to an end.
You know, I wasn't sure if you were going to say podcasting experience or thousands of hours of something else. I'm glad you finished that sentence.
Same. I was like, Tony is a veteran in these streets.
And Sheets, too.
Hi, Mandy. Hi, Mandy.
You haven't said that one in a hot minute.
It used to be a gimmick of mine.
I know. I remember.
Before we get out of here today, there is one thing in anticipation that I wanted to ask you guys about on this show specifically, movie-wise, and it's not comic book related. It's how much
you gonna say Happy Gilmore?
Yeah, how much are the two of you looking forward to Happy Gilmore coming out? Because there's going to be a lot of pop culture references. I mean, there's a lot of celebrities involved here, a lot of cameos. I mean, you both have seen the original, right?
Nope, never. What's it about?
All right, thanks for joining us today. You can follow me at Beast and Tony. Andrew, let everybody know where they can find you.
I just saw a Bruins jersey. I guess it's a hockey show. Is it like Mighty Ducks? I love Mighty... Emilio, you know, me and him go way back.
This is quack. On me.
Quack. They used to call me Cake Eater all the time growing up. I never understood it until I watched Mighty Ducks. And it wasn't just because I eat ass.
No, that's fine. Okay. Go back to the Ozzy tribute and just get out of here. No big deal. Okay, fine. They don't like
that is
Abby
funny
Gilmore.
To think, though, that Cake Eater now means something completely different, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Look, let them eat cake. However they
want. All right, Marie Antoinette. Now we knew what she was about.
I'll get hey. back in the day.
Damn.
Have you seen Caligula? Freaky town back in the day.
Hey, Sodom and Gomorrah got turned into soap for a reason, you know. Whoa.
I can give more credence to it once I get Fantastic Four on my mind. I got to get to Fantastic Four before I can give anything else any credence.
And I will watch Happy Gilmore just because it's on Netflix. We've been over this. Nostalgia doesn't like drive my watching habits, but it's easy to get to because it's on Netflix. So I'm like, oh, fuck it. Whenever it comes out, I'll probably watch it.
Yeah, stupid me to ask the question like the day before it comes out. You know, with this show coming out.
No, it's good.
You know, right?
It's topical. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Thank God.
It's good. It's topical.
Woke up this
you did
morning,
a good job.
Woke up this
I'm just
morning,
an asshole. There's a difference.
Woke up this morning going, ah, pot is the word today. Hope it ends with Andrew being proud of me.
At least you didn't wake up this morning feeling like P. Diddy.
I'm all out of baby
it's
oil.
It's a Kesha song.
Oh, I know. I know, but with what Kesha's gone through on top of that. Terrible.
Oh, damn. Hey, woo-hoo! She made the lyrics, not me.
I'm saying. By the way, those
Super Saiyan or just regular Saiyan?
Regular Goku, just regular Goku.
Okay, just checking.
Tunny's. If you don't know Tunny, he loves Adam Sandler. He loves golf, and he loves random Netflix movies that are probably going to be decently good.
Thanks.
Yeah, okay. I'm putting you over, brother. I'm trying to put you over, brother.
Well, you get to go,
brother.
You get to go first as we leave today, then.
Okay. So y'all know where you can find me. But my sign off from now on. I'm changing my sign off now. Uh-oh. Shout out to Jadakiss and shout out to the podcast. Two Jews, three black dudes. Best podcast that's not on Chair Shot Radio. My favorite one.
Is it real podcast?
It's a real podcast. Oh, okay. The Locks and these two white dudes called It's the Real. It is the funniest shit ever. But from now on,
wait, the Locks are the three black dudes?
Yeah.
Because the Locks could also be the Jews. What do you put on bagels?
I walk myself and
they could also Andrew, they could also be Hasidic Jews with locks.
Oh yeah, the little coils. I forgot about them. Yeah, you're right. We love locks.
Come on.
I'm a monster soup. Hey, forget about it, you know?
Okay, your turn Italian, but be a mensch, huh?
Oh my god.
Italian, Jewish, New York, it's all the same.
Where's Dave and Dave? Where's Dave and Dave Sop when you need them?
There is a segment on the
Dave
show.
Dave and Dave Sop, that's good.
Probably they're probably out somewhere pinching pennies. What are you gonna do?
There's a segment of the show where Jadakiss Italian, where he reads Italian shit. It's hilarious. But no, from now on, I'm Israel Cash, a.k.a. call me Four Brothers. Every time you see me, you got to say brother before you talk to me. That's my new shit.
I thought you were just really into Ben Affleck movies. Or he did direct that, right?
Okay, Ray, he's not going to do that brothers? Anymore.
No, that's wrong bump tonight. That's Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, that one. Okay.
It's Four Bridges. Andrew?
Was that Four Bridges? Wasn't that Chadwick's movie?
I don't know.
No, that was 21 Bridges.
This is the longest goodbye ever. This is like a y'all. Good night. White 1980s.
Irish goodbye then. Get
like,
the fuck
yeah,
out.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to just
like,
disappear.
Well, we started in the foyer, yeah. Then we were on the porch. Now we're in the car with the windows down, still talking to your ass. Would you go back in your fucking house so I can leave? Andrew, where
how
the
else
they
do you end the barbecue? You have to talk as you walk. That's how that works.
Upper Decker. Andrew, where can they find you?
Around. Places.
Cool.
Mostly New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Occasionally on the Chair Shot with TNA stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't find me on Twitter. Nope,
no.
Don't do that.
No.
Mm-mm.
Where? Well, to make sure they don't find you, where shouldn't they find you?
Oh, Xiao Hong Shu. Then, if I know nobody listens to this would have a Red Note app.
All right, at IWC War Chief, at It's Ray Cash, at PC Tony. Follow the show at Pod is War, Chairshot Radio Network, thechairshot.com, all your favorite streaming platforms, at ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Goodbye. This is all I can handle with these two guys, but it was fun. Oh, no, that's not right.
TheChairShot.com. always use your head.
Here you go. Here's some early Kid Rock for you guys.
Is it gonna be is rapping Kid Rock?
This is the true story.
It's gotta be if it's early, early.
Yeah.
He's still in his rapper's phase.
Well, my name is Kid Rock, and I came to say, I'm a rich motherfucker, and I say, hey, yeah.
Is it playing?
Oh, you can't hear it?
No. Can you, Ray?
No, but I don't know if we want to hear it.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I'll bring it back down. Say goodbye, fellas.
I don't know. The Vanilla Ice, Snow. White people had interesting rap in the 90s.
Informer.
You know, said, let me snow me, I go blam.
All right, goodbye, fellas.